If you'd like to take seats just for a few moments, just to give you some reassurances, if I can. Firstly, my name's Pastor Aaron. If you've never met me before, it's really good to see you in church. And secondly, we have a briefing before every service, so we know what we're doing, bizarrely enough. You know, we have a plan for that. And then Rachel, who is the host today, as you've seen, she kind of has a thing. She sat down and she said, and Aaron will give a short talk at the end of the service. Okay, so there's my brief so that I'm on today. Just want to say, I've been brought up in the concept of a family, both in a natural family and also in a spiritual family. I've got loads of memories that relate to family life in that. Just over a week ago, I had the privilege of walking down the aisle with my daughter, you know, and it's such an amazing family moment. I never really understood how amazing it would be, isn't it? You know, and I said in the speech for the father of the bride, Beth was the most beautiful bride I'd ever seen since I married her mother 30 years ago. So I figured I could say that again because I thought it was a good line that she liked and I thought I'd get some juice out of it. I also remember sitting in a hospital ward in Chelsea in London, in Brompton, as my son was in intensive care and he was on a lung bypass and he was desperately ill and he was fighting for his life. And I remember two things about that. I remember watching him. And I remember sitting in that space, praying for my son and learning about the depth of what family really means. But I also know I was being held too by you who sat here holding me up in prayer and Rachel so that we could walk through a day like that. It speaks of the family of God. I remember watching Josh play cricket. One of the great privileges I had is going to watch him play cricket at school. Do you know you have those moments? It was one of the funniest moments of my life that me and Josh know as the Shermanator, who was one of the main players for a very posh school in the city. I had an absolute breakdown on the pitch and didn't score many runs. It was another story. I remember preaching the gospel, the great news of Jesus Christ, at my dad's funeral and having the privilege to address the family members who weren't yet saying yes to Jesus. And the reason I did that is because one of my last things my dad said to me before he gave up his breath and was promoted into eternity, he said, would you preach the gospel at my funeral? It was an honor and a privilege. I remember being raised in the church family. They have prayed for me, encouraged me, championed me, fed me, babysat me, taught me, gave me the opportunity to grow. I am here simply because of the family of God. It's not always been perfect. It's not always been easy. It's been challenging and sometimes painful. But I am a product of the family of the body of Christ. My children have a similar story. My dad had a dysfunctional story. His family wasn't like the family I was brought up in. And yet, if it weren't for the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ and the church, I wouldn't be here today. See, he broke the chain of dysfunction in my dad. He met my mum. They created a new family. And when I see like Matthew and Toby, you know, who are growing up in the family of God, and Jerry and Toby, and I see the children, and I see how safe you all are, and how we all know them by name, and they run around, and I see this interspersed. I see this as an incredible model of what God wants to do here on the earth. The family of God is incredibly precious. I know the families of every person who shared the story. I have to say this, Luke, you know, about your family. There's a film called Blues Brothers, and the whole kind of line of the film is we're putting the band back together. I actually felt God to say we're putting the family back together. I can see God at work in you as a family. Because God does that. He builds us together. I knew Sam's granddad who would fix things with a spanner. I knew him. I know the family. It's incredibly important what God does within the context of family as we are growing. And we're talking about this moment as a church being molded by God, being shaped for his purposes. And I don't know if you've worked it out yet that God shapes you in community. He shapes you in family. He forges who you are, not in isolation, but in a group. And he creates something incredibly beautiful of which you are observing today. We're formed for the family of God. Let me just read some of the words in the Bible that tell us about this incredible family. Christ makes us one body, We are connected to each other. Hebrews 2 verse 10 says, God is the one who made all things, and all things are for his glory, and he wanted to have many children share in his glory. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, see how much the Father loves us, and he calls us his children, and this is what we really are. Ephesians 1 verse 5 says, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his family. By sending Jesus Christ to die for us, he did this, my favorite bit, because he wanted to. Like, Jesus wants you. It is personal. And he brings us into the concept of a family. James 1 verse 8, it was a happy day for him, Jesus, when he gave us new lives for the truth of his word, and we became, as it were, the first children in his new family. 1 Peter 1 verse 3, he has given us the privilege of being born again so that we are now members of God's family. It's an incredible thing, the family of God. Don't attack it. Don't criticize it. Don't pull it apart. Because God is building something really precious right here in the room, and you are witness to this incredible, miraculous thing called the family of God. It's an eternal family. Now, earthly families are temporal, if you don't know, and then they can be wonderful gifts. They also can be an absolute nightmare, as I'm sure we've all got different experiences, but they are temporary. But the family of God is eternal, right? You're going to be spending eternity with the person sat next to you, and some of you are thinking, pants. Not true. It's not true. The Bible talks about family inheritance. To spend eternity with God, to be transformed into the likeness of Christ, to be free from all pain and death and suffering, to be rewarded for our service, and to share in Christ's glory. It's incredible. And he does that because he loves you. 1 Peter 1 verse 4 says, we have a priceless inheritance, and inheritance is kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of any change and decay. If the Tory government could get hold of it, they would tax it. They can't reach it. There are other governments available, by the way, that aren't just as poor, you know, in that. I didn't mean to be political. I do apologize. I'm told not to be political, by the way, if that's right. Healthy families, by the way, have a sense of family pride. Okay? And I'm not saying pride in the biblical sense. I mean pride in the word that we most often use it, where we say, we're glad to be part of that family. We love it. And actually, I think there's an invitation here in Riverside to understand to love it, not to be embarrassed by it, not to be ashamed of it, not to hide it as part of your life, but it's part of your spiritual DNA, the culture that we have. We've got something incredible. Baptism is not an optional ritual that we do as a church. Baptism publicly announces to the world that we are not ashamed of the family of God, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a public entrance into the family of God. It is a declaration of your faith in the burial and the resurrection of Christ. It symbolizes the death to your old life, and a new life has begun. It is incredible, right? We're going to go down this afternoon. It doesn't matter what the weather is, we'll still go. If it's raining, bring a brolly. We've got a barbecue set up for the whole thing. We're going to hang around there, the family. I want you as the family to come to witness these new believers say publicly, I am entering the family of God. Something special will happen on that beach as they make their public confession of faith. We've noticed even people who've got no association with church, no connection, and might think that we're a bunch of religious nuts will sit there and watch, and it speaks to their soul. Because there's nothing greater that speaks to this world than the family of God. Because we have in the family what the world is desperately looking for, and that is Jesus. See, baptism doesn't make you a member of God's family. It's your faith that does that. Baptism shows that you are part of God's family. Okay, I wear a wedding ring. I have done for nearly 30 years. This ring does not make me married. It shows that I am. Because there was a day that as I made a vow to Rachel, I said, with this ring, I thee wed. I made a declaration in front of a community, and those vows were honored within the community that we made to each other before God. Baptism is like that. I make this declaration to God in the presence of the community that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, family is a place to belong. It's not good for man to be alone. So God says, let's make man in our image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the divine family. Let us make man in a community so that they're not alone. They're not in isolation. They can grow together by which we can love each other. And the Bible says these phrases, we're put together. We're joined together. We're built together. We're members together. We're heirs together. We're fitted together. We're out together. The church is not a building. It is an organism, not an organization. It describes as a body. And I don't know if you know this about the body. It's formed of lots of different body parts that are all connected to work together. Imagine if your heart wasn't connected to your body. It'd just look a bit weird dancing around on its own on the floor, wouldn't it? And slightly scary. I had an operation biopsy when I went for my cancer diagnosis, by the way, and to get to the thing, because I had this huge mass, sat right around my heart and just wrapped itself around my lungs and tracks, and they stuck this long needle in while I was conscious, and I could watch my heart ticking away just with this huge nail sticking right through my hand. I was like, that's pretty strange. You don't see that every day. But at least I've got one. At least it's beating. You know, you've got to look on the bright side. Hannah, do you want to get up? And that, what that does, if I get the... Oh, no, so Sammy, where are you, Sammy? You can get up if you want. That just tells everybody that I'm not going to be long. And then what ministers do, they ignore it. Have you seen they're terrible at doing that? Amen. I'm not setting an example here to our preaching team. Belonging to a church family identifies you as a genuine believer. Okay? Belonging to a church family moves out of you of self-centered isolation into a life-giving community. Belonging to a church family helps you to develop spiritual muscles. I was told 2 years ago that if I didn't start going to the gym or being fit and active, I wouldn't need to do anything, but my muscles would just fail naturally by doing nothing. And so the advice at that point was, say, if you want to keep your muscles going for the rest of your life, you're going to have to work them out. It's the same in church. The biggest symptom of spiritual deprivation in your life is when you isolate yourself from the body of Christ, the family of God. You're on decline the moment you say, I can do it on my own. I don't need them. They hurt me. They're not perfect. They don't play the music style I want. Their coffee's not good. You know, things like that. When we say all of those things, okay. And actually, Jesus said that it's got nothing to do with that. It's about you being part of the family of God. You are born into a family. John 1, verse 13 says, they were born into God's family by God. They were not born into his family in the way a person is born into the world. It was not by any person's will, but it was by the Spirit of God. A baby, when it's born, is not left for itself because it needs support. It needs provision. It needs education. It needs nurture. And there's a time as we grow in our faith to all those being baptized, we don't expect you to stay as a young baby. We're going to invite you to grow from being dependent on others to be able to self-feed yourself by reading the Bible on a daily basis, by praying to God and learning it for yourself. Not because Josh is just a great leader and he knows it all, but you need it too. Live it out in your life and go, this is me. Do you know when you put the Word of God into you and you can self-feed, right? Joshua and Beth and even Nathan within his special needs can feed themselves now in their 20s. I'm quite relieved. Right? It's coming back to a church analogy. Don't just come to church and expect the pastor to feed you. I will give you the word of God. It won't make any difference to your life unless you take it from me and then you put it in and you go, I'm going to ingest that and I'm going to live it. The power of the word of God is when you live it out, not when you just hear it. Many is a hearer of the word of God and does it. That's where it takes hold in your life. They're statements of faith. It's a time where I had to make a decision. I'm going to go for it right now. Rachel's looked at her watch. We know what that means. This is what matters most in a family. Is that the world will know you are my disciples because you love one another. There's a story of a dad who was very busy and had a very important job and worked many, many hours, and he had a young son. He came home one night and his son said, Dad, can I have a fiver? Dad was tired. He says, what do you need a fiver for? He said, I don't want to tell you. He says, well, if you're not going to tell me, he says, I'm not going to give you a fiver. And the boy just walked outside and he sat in his room and he wept. Dad was down and tired and hot and bothered, going through why his son would bother him when he gets from home and he wants his money. So he, being a good dad, he thought, I better go and talk to him about it. He said, I'm sorry I was a bit short with you. He said, of course you can have a fiver. So he gives him the fiver and the little boy says, thanks, Dad. And he puts it under his pillow. And as he puts it under his pillow, he sees that he's got more money. He gets frustrated. And the boy said, Dad, how much do you earn an hour? Dad said, what do you mean, how much do I earn for an hour? He said, what's that got to do with this conversation? He said, no, just tell me, how much do you earn? He said, I earn £20 an hour. And the boy went under his pillow and he counted the money out and he took £20 and he said, Dad, can I have an hour of your time? The most precious commodity that we can have as a family in the way that we love each other is to give each other time. Three stages in a family that we're growing in the family of God and someone's helping us. We grow enough so we can help ourselves, and then we get to a position where we can help others. That's maturity. You're not a mature Christian if you've been coming here 30 years, if you're still having to be fed. You're a mature Christian if you come, even in 3 years, if you're feeding others. Can I invite you just to close your eyes just for a moment of reflection, if that's all right? Because there's lots of ways we could do it. I'm going to ask the band to come up and join me.